Senate Amendment Number 20, offered by Senator Dempsey. Amend Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bills Numbers 493 et al., page 2, section 161.238, line 8, by striking the words, quote, 65, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, 55, end quote.
Senator, would you like to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I had a good explanation with the senator from the 14th, and just, you know, when I was a kid growing up, being tested below a 60% was failing. You know, I think I'm still kind of dumbing it down a little bit here, where we're going to say below 55% is failing, and it's a compromise I'm willing to make. I hope I can look back 10 years from now and we're not even close to having school districts or buildings that are failing. But this is easier for me to live with in the legislation, and I appreciate Senator from the 14th, those who care about this provision, being willing to compromise on it. Thank you.
The Senator from the 23rd District has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 20 to the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 493. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 23rd District renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 20 be adopted to the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 493. As many senators of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the amendment. We are back on the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute on the motion from the Senator from Johnson. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I want to thank everyone in the Senate for great dialogue we've had over the last couple of days, over 12 hours of debate that we've had. I, in particular, want to thank the 9 senators who sponsored bills, and the senators from the 24th, the 5th, the 1st, the 13th, the 11th, the 14th, the 2nd, the 15th. I want to thank the Education Committee for their hard work on this. Our floor leader, I can't thank him enough for giving us all the time that we needed, because this is an issue that really needed a lot of time, and so I want to thank him for that. And with that, I close on Senate Bills 493, 485, 495, 516, 534, 545, 595, 616, and 624.
You're closing on the adoption of the substitute.
That is correct.
Senator from Johnson renews his motion that the Senate Committee substitute be adopted for, as amended, for Senate Bill Number 493. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, nay.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Thank you, Mr. President. Wow.
The Senate has no official position other than the Secretary.
I was trying to think who's really in charge, so... Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 493 et al. Be perfected and order printed.
The Senator from Johnson has moved that Senate Bill Number 493 be perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize to close.
I close.
Senator from Johnson renews his motion that Senate Bill Number 493 be perfected and ordered printed. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, nay.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Newton.
President, without objection, the Senate go to order of messages from the House of Representatives. I ask the Secretary to please read the message.
We do have messages from the House of Representatives. Madam Secretary, please read those messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1468, entitled An Act Relating to Volunteers for Tax-Exempt Organizations. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1616, entitled An Act Relating to County Hospital Trustees. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 1079, entitled An Act Relating to Insurance Documents. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1087, entitled An Act Relating to the Designation of a Memorial Bridge. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1141, entitled An Act Relating to the Designation of a Highway. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 1201, entitled An Act Relating to Surface Mining. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1222, entitled An Act Relating to Highway Designations. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1238, entitled An Act Relating to Court Filing Fees. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1361, entitled An Act Relating to Domestic Surplus Lines Insurers. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 1376, entitled An Act Relating to Secured Transactions. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 1523, entitled An Act Relating to Endowment Funds. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Committee Substitute House Concurrent Resolution 7, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, I object to the Senate go to our business. The Senate bill is perfection. Actually, call the calendar.
Senate bills for perfection. Senate Bill number 635, the Senator from the 17th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 635 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 17th District. All in favor of that motion shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 635 be adopted. Mr. President, this is what has commonly been referred to as the Border War Bill. As you know, we have had an issue with the state of Kansas and the state of Missouri over the last several years, offering incentives for companies to basically move jobs across the state line from one side to the other, and sometimes those same companies who have moved previously will then take incentives back. There's data that's been compiled over the last few years that show that we're not really gaining in the benefit that we should out of those jobs, because you're not actually creating any new jobs. You're just shuffling the jobs that already exist around the same region. So the Hall Family Foundation has done a study and shown that over the last 5 years, Kansas has spent about $140-ish million to take jobs from Missouri. Missouri has spent about $70 million to take jobs from Kansas. The net result of that is a difference of about 400 jobs total. So we're talking about, you know, $200+ million that have been spent on incentives in the region that haven't created any new jobs. And so clearly, like where I live, if my company moved from downtown Kansas City to Johnson County, I'm not going to pick up my family and move to Johnson County. I'm just going to take 635 to work, oddly enough, as it says also the number of the bill, instead of 169. And so therefore, Kansas is not going to gain my sales tax activity, they're not going to gain my property tax activity, and we've seen, the studies have shown that the reverse is also true. The people from Kansas whose jobs get moved to Missouri don't move here, we don't get all the economic benefit of them. So we've been struggling locally with how do we solve this problem. And Senate Bill 635 is the the culmination of what has been a local effort over many, many months to figure out what we should do. So what we've come up with is this idea that it needs to be a bilateral compact between the two states. Of course, neither state wants to unilaterally disarm and quit offering economic incentives. So what we've come up with is the concept that in 635 we would create an 8-county zone, 4 counties on the Kansas side, 4 counties on the Missouri side, and we would simply say that if Kansas will join us in entering this agreement, we will not offer economic incentives for jobs located in the 4 Kansas counties that want to locate to one of the 4 Missouri counties. And vice versa, by virtue of them entering the compact, they will not offer incentives from our jobs in our 4 counties moving to their 4 counties. Of course, it wouldn't take effect until both states have taken action. This, of course, would signify our action, assuming that we pass this bill and the governor signs it. The actions that would be allowed for Kansas to join us would either be legislative or it could be by executive order because of how some of their incentives have been structured. Their governor has a lot more flexibility than we have on this side of the state line. Before we get to that, Mr. President, I also have a short amendment. It has been distributed, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
I think it sounds like a lot. Send your amendment forward. Has the amendment been distributed?
It has been distributed in 0.01S.
Did you request a waiver of a reading?
I do, Mr. President.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. A hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, would you like to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a very simple amendment that at the end of the bill would clarify what is already in the bill as far as whatever deals have been entered into by the Missouri Economic Development Department with any companies prior to the two states codifying a compact would clearly be grandfathered in before this bill takes effect. And with that, I renew my motion for the adoption of the amendment.
The Senator from the 17th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 635. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from the 17th renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 be adopted to Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill Number 635. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Any opposed, nay? The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the amendment. Senator from the 17th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just would urge my colleagues to adopt this and help us end the economic incentive war in the Kansas City region. Be happy to answer any questions.
Senator from the 17th has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill Number 635. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
Require the senator from the 17th.
Senator from the 17th, you yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I just wanted to take a brief moment and thank you for your leadership on this. As the body knows, I represent the south part of Kansas City. You represent the north part of Kansas City. And our two districts have been the most affected by what we have titled this as the border war. Would you suggest that this is our best efforts at a peace accord?
Yeah, I think it absolutely has, and you know, Senator, having been involved for several months with us on this, I think, you know, clearly one of the states has to act first and put the ball in the other state's court, and of course, without unilaterally disarming, I think this is our best shot to do that.
And just, you talked about the Hall Family Foundation numbers, just to be absolutely clear, the $210 million that's been spent, 3,300 jobs have gone to Kansas, 2,900 jobs have come to Missouri. There's a net of 414 jobs, and the plus that's cost Kansas roughly $340,000 a job. Is that correct?
$340,000 per job of the net job creation that they've had. Yeah. So you know we hear about you know who's winning and who's losing and who has more jobs, but the reality is, regardless of whether one state is up a nominal amount of jobs or not, the return on investment of what we're seeing for what we have is not worth continuing to play this game. And the you know the, what we don't hear about and what actually isn't really mentioned in the study is the worst of all scenarios, and that is where you have a business that goes and seeks an offer of incentive from the other state, whichever state they're in, goes to the other state, seeks an offer of incentive, then comes back to the state they're already located in, and seeks incentive to stay in that state, and then ultimately never moves. We didn't capture the data.
The retention dollars.
Right. We didn't. That data is not even part of the job shuffling that we're talking about. So, in essence, we also have a situation where we're spending millions upon, we're offering millions of dollars of incentives for jobs that we already have, that just to keep them here. And so, you know, this would go a long way to addressing that situation as well.
And I would point out that so far this year and in previous years, we've talked about spending priorities. We don't have enough money to fully fund the education formula. We don't have enough money to fund our transportation obligations. Spending $70 million to shuffle jobs back and forth is probably not the best use of our state dollars.
No, absolutely. And you know, Senator, both you and I have offered bills that create incentives for various things. But if this particular area is clearly not giving us the return because we're shuffling the jobs back and forth, it's not an anti-incentive thing necessarily, but it's an anti-this incentive thing because it's clearly not working.
And have you had, since we've sort of pioneered a bit of this solution, have you had other states and other similar situations looking to us to see the model that we've created?
You know, it's funny you should ask that. I didn't even think to mention it, but last weekend I was up in the New England region and was invited to speak by several appropriations chairs of the New England states because of the compact nature of their region. They have a similar problem. Now, it's not as stark as ours, where state line is a road in the middle of a major metropolitan area, but, you know, the relatively small size of those states up there have created a similar problem, where New Hampshire and Vermont are stealing from Connecticut, and so they had me up there to talk about this idea and how they might be able to act as a region to stop the madness in their area.
I guess that's why they call us the Show Me State. If this, how long do we give Kansas to accept this peace accord?
Yeah, so in the committee substitute, that's a great point. We added a 2-year window. So they've once this bill is signed, they would have approximately 2 years to enter into an agreement, and so it would sunset. If it's not on the books forever, it's a temporary offer. Either you're going to join us or you're not. And then if they do, it would be up for consideration 6 years after that.
And Senator, I fully support this effort of peace, but if peace is not reached and we find ourselves in a continuous state of war, are you willing to join me 2 years from now in the Kansas Recruitment Jobs Investment Act?
It's certainly an intriguing idea. I hope that we're in an economic position to be able to do that if need be, but certainly I would hope that Kansas would join us in just putting a stop to these incentives.
Senator, I share that same hope. Peace is better than war, and let's hope they join us in stopping this madness of sending our public dollars to private corporations for zero job creation. And I hope the body supports this bill, and we move it on out of here, and we get it to the governor's desk. And I would be remiss to point out that Governor Nixon has made this a priority. He has come to Kansas City to speak on behalf of solving this problem and hope to enlist his support to lobby Kansas to accept the peace accord so we can end this.
Yes, let's hope so, and thank you for your leadership, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Barton, for what purpose do you rise?
President, to inquire the senator from Clay.
Senator from Clay, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. First of all, let me apologize. I didn't get a chance to visit with you ahead of time about some of my concerns, but the first one, the most fundamental, is probably that I think I'm afraid this is a special law, and I probably will oppose it on that point. Because of it defining out a particular part of the state and then saying that this law only applies to that part of the state. But I realize that in order to do this, you have to make that concession. I just don't like it. Would you characterize this as essentially a treaty?
Yeah. It would be a treaty that has to be entered by both states.
And what in your thinking, Senator, compels a party to seek a treaty?
Well, when there's action being taken that's not beneficial to either side, I mean, I think that's the idea. So, obviously, war is detrimental to both sides of a war, and so you seek a treaty. And if they enter into the treaty, then that means everybody concedes that it wasn't beneficial to either side. So, I think that's kind of what we're looking at here. I think that this economic policy of incentivizing jobs to shuffle a few miles one side of the border or the other is not beneficial to either state. At least
did Kansas approach us with this, or did we approach them?
This has been generated by the Kansas City community, members on both sides of the state line. And
the greater Kansas City area, basically.
The Kansas City area business and civic leaders, essentially.
And they're... what is their ultimate goal? Is it just to keep everybody where they are?
I think their ultimate goal is to stop spending, sending incentives to one side of the state or the other, and allow that money to be used for actual job creation activities as opposed to job shuffling activities.
Okay. And you believe that really does work? I mean, that will work?
We'll see a slowdown
of these moves?
Yeah, I think if Kansas will join us in this, that will stop the companies. A little technical. Oh, we're back. And we're back! Okay, so, I think that if they join us, it would, hopefully put a stop to companies seeking shopping one side of the state line or the other for the best deal. On how much public money they would essentially be given to move their job or keep their job.
Well, and it may turn out to be a good experiment. I'm not sure just exactly what transpires, within the company to make it to have them do that. But I guess we'll see if this passes.
Yeah, actually, I would have assumed, honestly, Senator, that this is right up your alley as someone who's not a big fan of incentives to begin with. That this might be the first thing to pass out of the Senate in years that would actually stop some of the incentives.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, is that if it does that, I still think it's unconstitutional, but I if we're looking for a validity, it might stop some of the government intrusion into the marketplace to try to manipulate the economy and create artificial incentives.
Yeah, I think, just to address your constitutionality point, I think I would have to disagree with you, since we do things all the time based on charter county or non-charter county or first-class county or whatever. So I think setting up a regionally specific thing is not outside of the norm in this building, to be honest, and I doubt.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think it's become very normal. I'm not comfortable with it, but I understand your perspective on it.
And there are certainly enterprise zones.
And I think the courts are on your side. I just think the courts are on the wrong side. But the other thing is that, when I think of federalism, which, of course... is the system that we have within the states, that it's designed to make every state a laboratory so that we find out what policies are best. So are you, I guess in trying to fit this into an acceptable perspective, you're basically saying Kansas and Missouri are working together to demonstrate to other states with a similar, because we're kind of violating the federalism principle there. I don't mean that fundamentally and constitutionally. I mean, in terms of the economics of federalism, where we do compete. We do try to have policies that make us the exceptional state rather than the average state. And that certainly is what's been going on between us and Kansas, whether we've been using the right tools or the right tactics. It's been that contest for exceptionalism.
Sure, and I think it really is a matter of, as you said, tools and tactics, because, remember, just a few months ago, we were all here talking about putting a package together to try and attract a company from Washington State, which would be from outside our region. And that, I think, arguably would have produced new economic activity, new jobs that don't yet exist in our region. And I think what we're seeing when you've got a metropolitan area that's literally divided by a street is people are using tools that were designed for those scenarios, bringing outside economic activity in, and they're using them or abusing them in this case, in my opinion, to move jobs around without creating the new economic activity
within
that the tools were intended
to. Yeah, within that metropolitan area.
Sure, because like I said, where I live on the north side of Kansas City, if I worked downtown or if I worked in Johnson County, it's about the same commute from my house. So if I worked at, Applebee's, who has moved back and forth across the state line, I think three times now, I'm not going to pick up my family and follow them every time they move their corporate headquarters. I'm just going to take a different highway to work. And so the unintended consequence of that is whichever state is offering the incentive doesn't receive my sales tax revenue, doesn't receive my property tax revenue locally. And so you're not getting the complete package of the quote-unquote newly created job.
Okay. And so what For the 2 years, and I think I heard you say, and I didn't find the language in here, but Kansas has 2 years to kind of agree to the treaty.
Correct. Because the other thing we like in this building is sunsets, right? So we didn't want to just hang it out there. It might not work. We wanted to throw it out and say, look, is this something that we can agree on the premise? Is this something that you want to try?
Sure.
And if they, then give them a couple of years to get comfortable with the idea, come along with us. And if not, then it would just go away. And furthermore, we have the protection of if they do join us, then we'll have 6 years from that point, a review where we get to decide whether it's working as intended or whether it's not, and we should just go back to the way it was.
What happens during the 2 years while we're possibly waiting on them to respond? It might not take them that long.
Status quo. The world continues as it is today.
Opportunity for change to facilitate the greater metropolitan area learning to get along.
Right. If they never join us, nothing ever changes, and nothing changes until they do. So things would continue as they are. Companies will continue jockeying with one state or the other to get the most public assistance that they can get, Nothing would change. So our hope is that they would join us sometime in that window, and we would enter into this experiment and see if it was better for both states.
But was this initiated and driven pretty much by the metropolitan area, by the communities and the businesses and the local municipal governments in that area?
Yeah, actually, it was the community and business leaders for the most part. I mean, we have a unique situation where a lot of people who run companies or work at companies in Kansas City live in the opposite state of where maybe they work. And so they are seeing both states where they work and where they live making these decisions that they think are, you know, economically unfeasible. And so
they're asking us by that. They're saying, get out of our business. Quit gaming the system and let us deal with our local businesses and competition so that we're not actually in their driving
right.
businesses in or out
right.
at the state level.
The testimony that we heard in committee, I mean, it was the number one priority of the Kansas City Chamber of Commerce, which has members on both sides of the state line. I believe the Civic Council was there. The Missouri Chamber of Commerce testified in favor of it. I mean, it's essentially a business and civic-driven idea.
If we weren't involved with incentives and tax credits, they wouldn't even need to be here.
Right. If neither state had them to begin with, there would be no need for this. But since we do, and we're aiming them at each other, and neither state is getting the amount of bang for the buck that
they
should.
They were running to us for that, or we were just devising it on our own. And now they're saying, if you'll just stay out of our business, we think we can work this out.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thank you, Senator. I appreciate you taking my
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the 8th District, for what purpose do you rise?
Well, Mr. President, first I'd like to say the dais looks much better now than it did about 15 or 20 minutes ago. You have a great guest up there, and your wife is a lovely woman, by the way, so let me say that out loud.
Senator, you're just looking for more chicken noodle soup.
I am. She makes some good chicken noodle soup. But I'd like to inquire the Senator from the 17th.
Senator from the 17th, do you yield to the Senator from the 8th?
I do, Senator. I'm glad you weren't talking about Dusty.
Proceed.
We were not talking about the floor leader's chief of staff. Let's talk about this bill real quick. I want to thank you for bringing it before us because I think it's a great step in the right direction. A little bit on the former inquiry, but this bill is common sense. It just says, hey, let's stop spending money to track jobs back and forth without any real gain.
Correct.
And it says, hey, let's use that money to bring jobs to the region and improve the overall region versus competing against each other.
Correct. Or, you know, the reality is, too, I mean, for our colleagues that are in other parts of the state, this would allow more money to be used perhaps to bring jobs into their region from other parts of the country.
Exactly.
Because it's not being wasted in the Kansas City region, shuffling jobs around for a diluted economic benefit.
It doesn't do anything to stop us from competing to bring jobs to Kansas City. It just says if it's a job on the other side of the state line, we're not going to give you incentives to move that job across to Missouri, and only if Kansas agrees to do it with us.
Right, and remember, it's a four-county region, so it's, you know, we can still compete to take jobs from Kansas, and Kansas can still compete to take jobs from Missouri. It's just going to have to be a far enough away move to where either state gains the full economic benefit of those jobs.
Well, we've been here a long day, and I just wanted to commend you and tell you that I think this is a great piece of legislation. Mr. President, just briefly to speak on the bill.
Proceed.
I believe the Senator from Clay has a great bill that moves the state forward. It just goes to Kansas and says, hey, we want to use this money more wisely. We don't want to continue to battle out and move jobs just across the street. And let's use the money to try to bring more jobs to the region, and that's the right thing to do. This is common sense legislation. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Further comments? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from the 17th renews his motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill number 635. All those in favor of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Clay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 635 be perfected and ordered printed.
Senator from Clay has moved that Senate Bill number 635 be perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize the close.
I close.
Senator from the 17th renews his motion for the perfection and printing of Senate Bill number 635. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of Senate Bill's perfection and formal calendar and ask you to recognize the Senator from Phelps on Senate Bill 735.
Informal calendar, Senate bills for perfection, Senator from Phelps, Senate Bill number 735.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 735 with a committee substitute be taken from the informal calendar and brought up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Phelps. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 735 be adopted. And what this bill does, the committee substitute for 735 puts in place that a campground owner, and these are private campground owners, inform the campground guests of the campground policies on curfew, alcohol, tobacco use, pet policy. These have to be posted in high traffic areas or handed when you pay. And the Act also defines for which a campground owner can eject a person from the campground, and any person who remains after being asked to leave the campground after being in violation of the agreed posted policies, then these folks can be guilty of trespass in the first degree. So any person removed from the campground under this Act is entitled to a refund of any unused portions of their prepaid fees. And this Act does not apply to Missouri State Parks, so the original fiscal note is now zero. The state parks do have law enforcement in place to take care of these issues. And we had a couple of good changes in the Senate committee substitute. Explained a little more fully, and we think we got something that will really help folks that own campgrounds, and there's a lot of those in Missouri, so I will try to answer any questions that folks may have.
The Senator from Phelps has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill number 735. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The Senator from Barton, for what purpose do you rise?
President, to inquire the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. We can't do this already?
Well, I think sometimes it is done, but I think the problem gets to be if someone just says, I'm not going to move. It's kind of like some of the landlord-tenant situations that arise. They have no really legal arm. This has kind of been left out of law. To call law enforcement, a lot of times they don't come with this. They feel that they have a little more muscle, I guess, in having the sheriff come out and say, hey, you've got to leave. And if they refuse, then the sheriff can charge them with trespass. And these are private campgrounds,
right,
owned by private individuals. And, of course, when you open them up for camping, and, you know, in some of these festivals, there may be 500 or 1,000 campers at these events. and oftentimes some folks decide not to leave.
Did this come up because did you hear from some campground owners?
Absolutely.
Just
yes.
Weren't able to. What's going on now when they try to evict somebody?
Well, they go down, they ask them to leave, whether they may be drinking, staying up late, keeping other folks up late, they're complaining. Most of these guys already have their rules and regulations in place, and they just basically ignore them. And so that was brought forth by, there's an association of these folks, and they felt that this would be a great help for them. So and I've had a lot of calls from people that weren't members of this association say, you know, this is a great piece of legislation. We really do need this in place. It will help us a lot.
Now, if they call, I mean, I guess if they try to evict me from their campground for one of these, whatever reason, since it's private right. campground, and I refuse to go, they call the police?
They can call the sheriff, yes, because most of them are out in the county.
And then the sheriff comes and...
informs them and... you know,
I mean, if before we pass this.
No, now what they say they're running into is a lot of times they ask the people to leave, and they call the law enforcement, and they don't, because there's nothing in statute that says that what is or isn't, and what they would be guilty of. They pretty much don't respond a lot of times.
They just don't come.
Yeah,
because they don't think there's anything they can. I mean, they can't use disturbing of the peace or.
Right. They don't have anything in statute that says, hey, we can actually ask these folks to leave.
Did law enforcement, was this in your committee?
No. It okay. was in agriculture committee.
Did law enforcement testify? Did they say whether they would?
They have told me they're in support, but no one showed up to testify.
So they didn't necessarily say they'll come more often if
no.
they have the statute. I mean, it's just, you're just saying that would be the
it
natural.
It gives them the right, or I guess a more clear-cut path for them to go ahead and respond.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand. It gives them something to do when
yep.
they get there that they actually, I guess, could arrest right. or whatever they felt like because of the violation of the statute.
You know, like on our farms, if we paint posts purple and we do some things, we can kind of get these folks removed because that's a clear trespass. When you have a campground and people are actually coming in, then it becomes a different issue because you've basically invited them in. They've paid
right.
their fees.
Right.
They're not acting appropriately, or they've stayed past what they paid for, and they won't leave. Your hands are pretty tied. And what they were hoping to do with this is keep these folks from taking the law in their own hands.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what, you know, what you do in that circumstance. I mean, what power the law enforcement has. You're a private landowner if you're in that
right.
situation, and I guess you could just say that they have no permission to be on my property. They violated the contract and agreement.
Because right. most of them have to sign in. You know, they may come in late night or something, but they go around the next day and you know, kind of inform them of the rules, get them signed in, collect their money, whatever, and then
and,
hopefully
and,
they kind of play by the rules after that.
And they're saying that's not enough to call law enforcement and say they violated the contract.
I think some respond pretty nicely and some don't. And so a lot of them don't because they say we don't really have any authority to do what you're asking.
Okay. All right. It's a little frustrating for me because it looks to me like private property ought to be private
property.
Well,
it's pretty much common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, it really
yeah.
is, Senator. And the fact that we have to legislate something like this, to me, makes it the kind of a statement that I'm not particularly happy with about our culture,
I agree.
Our society, and even sometimes our legislature. But thank you. I appreciate that you are responding to apparently a need. Thanks very much. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 4th was first on his feet.
To inquire, Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I just want to make sure I understand this. You're advocating for increased government regulation here?
Absolutely. You know I'm a big government guy.
You know the president could probably do this by executive order.
We might get the governor to do that.
Thank you, Senator.
I appreciate your help.
Further discussion, Senator from the 7th.
To inquire the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, you yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, does this still have the provision that requires them to post up the rules upon entering?
Got your amendment in there, buddy.
Mr. President, speak briefly in favor of the bill. I'll take that as a yes.
Senator from the 7th.
Speak in favor of the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be brief. We did hear this in committee. It does seem that this tool would be a welcomed addition to a campground's arsenal in dealing with unruly and rowdy individuals who have overstayed their welcome, and I would ask the body to support the bill.
Further discussion? Senator from Buchanan.
I'd like to inquire the senator from Polk.
The senator from Polk does not appear to be in the chamber. Sergeant of Arms, please summon the senator from Polk. While we are waiting on the senator from the Polk, the chair seeks unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest. To my right and to your left, I'd like to introduce the mother of our four children, Claudia Kehoe. Let's the Senate make her feel welcome today.
I thought I heard that upset.
Senator from Polk, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. There's a portion of this bill that just has me a little concerned, and you being a former law enforcement officer would know and would be able to reassure me.
Maybe.
And basically it says, a person who remains on a campground after having been asked to leave by a campground owner for violating any of the provisions, blah, 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 and subject to the penalties therein, and may be removed summarily by the campground owner or a law enforcement officer.
Right.
Is there any situation in the law where a property owner can physically, summarily remove a person?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah, that's. I talked to the senator from Phelps on that. I think we discussed that a little bit in committee. You've got to be a little careful about that, who you give the authority for removal.
Well, that's what we're doing, and it just seems to me that if somebody is going to be doing the removing, it ought to not be the campground owner, because you might end up causing some kind of a battle there, and somebody could get hurt. And I think that it's just an unwise situation to do that, unless it's like commonly done in other situations.
You know, Senator, that was a concern of mine also, and I don't remember, but I think I talked to the senator from Phelps, and somebody explained that a little further, but we need to clarify that to make sure that you can. And my understanding was that the owner would have to report it. And if you're going to be removed, it would have to be by law enforcement. There was a procedure to go through. All right. I knew there was an explanation to that. And my understanding was the same as the hotel law. But
In the hotel situation, if you don't check out by a certain time, I think you still have to have a period of time that you're allowed to stay in order to solve any kind of conflicts or disagreements about what went on. This doesn't seem to allow for any grace period there at all, and that kind of concerns me. Thank you for illuminating that. I think I want to inquire of the senator from Phelps, though. Mr.
Senator
President?
Senator from Buchanan.
To inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
So as I read this subsection 4, it says, a person who remains on a campground, and then there's this big bunch of language, after having been asked to leave by a campground owner for violating any of the provisions of subsection 3 of this section, then it says, shall be guilty of trespass in the first degree under section 569.140 and subject to the penalties therein, and then it says, and may be removed summarily by the campground owner or law enforcement officer. It doesn't say that you have to be found guilty before that you're removed. It just says, if you do it, you are, by the way, guilty, and you can be removed.
Right.
And I'm concerned.
By the rules on a private campground, just like a hotel, the same language in the hotel portion of law. And you can remove their, I mean, most of these are camper trailers. They can hook up and pull them off. I think most of them, the reason they wanted this is because they can get the sheriff out there to back them up on that issue.
Do you think it would be prudent to remove the words the campground owner or?
No, because that is what we allow hotel hotels the same.
We allow hotel people to physically eject people?
They can, yeah.
Well, I was just talking to the senator from Polk, and he said that he wasn't aware of any other situation. I mean, I would think that even in the hotel situation, they'd call the police or the sheriff and have them eject them. Do you think I'm right on that? Mr. President,
could we?
The senator from Buchanan has the floor.
I think unanimous consent to stand at ease.
Seeing no objection, the Senate shall stand at ease. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President.
The session, Senate is back in session. We are on the adoption motion of the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 735, offered by the Senator from Phelps. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, will you lay that bill on the informal calendar, please?
That bill shall be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from Newton.
I move that we stand in recess to 9:45 this evening. I want to wait until I get the perfected copy of the Senate Bill 493.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Newton.
I want to get that thing.
All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand in recess until 9:45 this day. The hour of recess has expired. The Senate is back in session. Senator from Newton. Reports of standing committees.
He has a report that's at the dais. Do you want it read?
Send your report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred. Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bills numbers 493, 485, 495, 516, 534, 545, 595, 616, and 624 begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 635, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully submitted, Senator Richard Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
493. Would you please refer Senate Bill 493 to the Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight Committee?
That bill shall be so referred. Senator from Newton. You've heard the motion from the senator from Newton. All those in favor of that motion shall prevail. Say aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate is adjourned under the rules.